This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
BJ, never been more excited to talk to our next guest. Please welcome to the show from Mitch Unfiltered.
There he is.
Mitch Levy.
There he is. I'm semi-excited. I don't know if I've been more excited. I think I've been more excited for other things, but it's still always good to have Mitch on. I mean, you know.
Come on, semi-excited? You got to do better than that, BJ.
Hey,
come
listen,
on.
When we went to lunch, when like you took me to lunch that one time, I was very excited to talk to you then because you were getting me a free meal.
What do you mean that one time? It's been more than one time. Oh, you took me the...
You bought one time. I bought one time. I'm just saying that one time you bought, I was very excited to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
I was less excited to talk to you when it was my treat. I'm just saying, when it was my treat, I was less excited to talk to you. You know, I'm always very excited to talk to you when it's your treat.
How are we doing? How are we doing this morning?
It was a treat. It was a great treat last night.
Did you guys stay up and watch? I mean, how does that work on nighttime games for the morning guys from The Rock of Seattle? How does that work?
I'm on my seventh cup of coffee right now.
It's a beating.
It's like, because your heart's racing after the game. There's fireworks going off in Puyallup.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there laying in bed just pumped. Man, it's like a division rivalry game. And then thinking in my head, like, a couple of things could have been fixed in that where it could have even been more of a, it could have been almost a blowout. Like you think about like Metcalf's catch should have happened. Some of those penalties shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining, man. They got the W. That's all that matters.
And so just give me a snapshot. Give your listeners a snapshot on a Seahawks night game. That changes your going to bed habits by what on a typical night?
Well, yeah.
I'd say by at least an hour.
Yeah.
If not more.
And, you know, when you go to bed, normally you can go to bed and fall asleep, but it's tough to fall asleep after, you know, any kind of Seahawks game where it's close, where it comes right down to the light, pretty much the last play, the last minutes. So, yeah, I can get into bed at the normal time I'm supposed to because the game ends at 8:30, and that's close to when I should be going to bed. But falling asleep, forget about it. I can't. And Steve's right. It's hard to fall asleep when they play the kind of games that they do, just the level of intensity and last-minute nail-biting stuff.
It always comes down to the end. I always say on the podcast, Mitch Unfiltered, I always say that it's easier to be a fan of the ballet than being a fan of the Seattle Seahawks. And you had to sweat it out loud. Even at 16-7 at the end of the half, I just felt like, oh boy, this is going down to the wire. They always do. And that was the case. So what do you guys think the story of the evening was last night?
Well, that's a really good question. I think you would say the defense. I would say Carlos Hyde and the defense only because, I mean, I'm sure that they did a lot of great things, but somehow they injured or knew of an injury that Murray had and took advantage of it. That's, I think, was the real big story.
Really? I thought Murray played okay. I don't think he played his best game, and maybe he was hurt, maybe he wasn't hurt. But I'll go with the first answer. Everybody can have their own opinion. I'll go with the defense. I'll give you some numbers to back that up.
All right.
Well, we know we don't have to go back over the Seahawks defense and what it's been like. And there was just no way they were going to win that game or any other game against a functional offense unless they come to play defensively, unless they improve defensively. So here are your numbers. At the end of the half, the numbers are 7-107. 7 points. This is a Cardinals team that scores 30 a game.
Yes.
They had 7 points at halftime. This is a Cardinals team that was the number one team, number one offense in the NFL heading into the game last night in yards per game, offensive yards per game, at about 430 yards a clip. They had 107 yards in the first half. Mm-hmm. So a Seahawks defense that we've been badgering and that have gotten everything that they've deserved in the last many weeks in terms of criticism and defensive coordinators being on the hot seat and head coaches who are a defensive-minded head coach being on the hot seat. They've gotten everything that they've deserved the last several weeks. We have to tip our cap. They not only played well defensively and well enough to win, but they slowed down a team that I would say was the hottest offensive team in the NFL coming in. They were coming in sky high after that Hail Mary. You saw the Hail Mary the week earlier. The Cardinals were feeling so good about themselves offensively, and the Seahawks defense stood up. So I think, did the Cardinals end up getting theirs in the third quarter? Yeah, after the great first half. They had a couple of touchdown drives in the third and fourth quarters, but I guess it would be the third quarters. But if you take what the Seahawks defense did in the first half, which is 107-7, I just gave you that, and you combine that with the two last possessions of the game, the second to last, the penultimate possession was the the holding in the end zone for the safety.
Yes.
When L.J. Collier beat his blocker and he was held in the end zone for the safety. That was the second to last possession of the game. That did two things. That got him 2 points and got him the ball back, which is huge, and allowed them to go down and score three more points. And then, of course, the last series of the game, they had to hold him out of the end zone. They got a little help from some questionable play calling by the Cardinals. The Cardinals didn't go for a first down. They kind of went for the end zone from the 27-yard line two or three times in those final four plays instead of going for the first down, which was a help to the Seahawks. But the Seahawks, they get the sack from Carlos Dunlap. So if you take those two possessions and the entire first half, you've got a performance last night that I think is worthy of the headlines this morning. The Seahawks defense, at least for one game, shows up and the Seahawks now are in control of the NFC West.
We're talking to Mitch Levy. Don't forget, get his podcast at MitchUnfiltered.com or anywhere you get podcasts. Mitch, can you explain, do you have any reason why they were as good as they were last night? My only thing I could think of is, obviously, it's tough not to be better than you've been. And secondly, I mean, this is a team that they don't just have to look at film to figure it out. They played them recently and the turnaround was quick, as far as the last time they played them. Does that figure into it? Because it was an amazing performance, like you said, against the top-rated offense. I know we've been good against the run, I guess, if I saw that stat, that's one thing about our defense all season. And we've been good against the run. And so what is the reason that you could think of that they were as good?
I don't know that anybody can answer that question. I would take a stab at it with two answers. Number one, what we've been saying all along, even going back to last year, is the Seahawks have enough talent on that defense not to be the worst in the league.
Yes.
And, they've got Jamal Adams. They've got Bobby Wagner. They've got good football players. Carlos Dunlap is still a pretty good football player. Jordan Brooks is coming into his own. Amadi's a good football player. I mean, they've got K.J. Wright is still a good. They've got enough talent on that team to not be the worst defense in the NFL. So you take that and you combine it with the human factor. They have been getting killed by all of us, by writers and what must it be like for them to turn on ESPN or turn on any sports related show all week and just hear, what have you heard nationally from the national pundits? Every time the Seahawks are mentioned, it's not Russell Wilson anymore. It's this defense is so bad. I think when you combine getting criticized like that with the fact that you have enough talent to be not the worst, and then throw in a nationally televised game. These Thursday night and Monday nights, they're going to play Monday night next against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Even though there's no fans in the stands, these are still the games for these players because all of their peers are watching.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching around the world these Thursday night and Monday night and Sunday night games. So throw all of those things, the criticism, the talent on the team, and the fact that they were playing a nationally televised game for everyone to see after being just bashed, I think probably got them motivated to, put their best foot forward. That's the best I can do for you this morning. Ask me like at midday, maybe I'll give you a better answer. I don't have a better answer.
What a roller coaster of emotions with this team, though. Even with what we were talking earlier about a guy DK Metcalf, where it's like, he is truly one of the, just the shining stars. Like, he's going to be one of the great wide receivers for however long he's going to play. But he also still has those moments where you're just like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like, it's like yesterday you go from absolutely loving the guy to being like, why are you being so boneheaded? Catch the damn ball.
As I walked to this microphone, I always try to, in my mind, anticipate what you guys are going to ask me. And today I said to myself, Migsy's going to ask me about DK Metcalf. There's just no question that Migsy.
I have a massive man crush on the guy. I mean, I can't help it. I don't like him when he disappoints
me. He's got a binky in his mouth right now. I mean, he wants to be DK.
Well, he reminds us of one thing every so often, and that is he's still in his second year in the NFL. And there was a reason why 6'5", 229 pounds, who can run faster than anybody, wasn't a top 5 or 10 draft choice. All right, when you're 6'5 or 6'4, 229 pounds, and you're the fastest guy in the NFL, can run down Buda Baker like you did, if you're a great receiver, you're the first receiver picked in the NFL draft. He wasn't. So there are reasons for that, right? And I think every once in a while, we see a guy who's blossoming into becoming one of the great wide receivers in the NFL, we see some of those reasons. And we saw them last night. There were two spots right there. The ball off his helmet, off his binky. and then how about the ball in the second half when they run? I love that play that they run where Russell Wilson fakes the pitch. He fakes the pitch going to what would be his left. He fakes the pitch going to his left. Then he rolls to the right. And Metcalf is coming across the middle. He hits Metcalf in his hands, and Metcalf's got a running start. I'm not so sure he doesn't score a touchdown on that play.
Exactly.
And he drops the ball. He starts to run before he catches the ball. So every once in a while, Migsy, a DK is going to show you his youth. And he did a little bit. And it's a good thing they didn't lose the game. It's funny. The last time he showed his youth was that game against the Patriots where he had a touchdown and he kind of waltzed in and they caught him from behind, and they could have lost that game as a result of it, but they didn't. So both games, they were able to survive some of those mistakes.
Those are really good points, Mitch. I guess when a player gets drafted high, they've got a maturation level, whereas somebody like DK, it's like, all right, it's going to take him a couple years. That's why he didn't go so high. Someday he'll be at that level as a first-round pick. But you're right. I hadn't even thought about the fact that he's still a work in progress.
He's still a work in progress, and I think, going back to what you said, BJ, while I'll credit the defense, I think the defense gets the headlines this morning. I think your thoughts are astute on the running game. The Seahawks offense has been really, really good this year, but we've seen in the last couple of weeks what it looks like when teams don't have to respect their running game.
Yeah.
When they've got no running game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I still think they really miss Chris Carson. Really, really miss, especially on short yardage situations. You see them having to, you know, run play action on third and fourth and ones and throw the ball out in the flat because they don't really trust their running game. I think I think what you talked about in the Carlos Hyde, I thought Carlos Hyde played a really good game last night. He averaged 5.6, 5.7 yards a game. He brought back a Seahawks running game. And I think as Carson, I would expect Carson to play next Monday night against the Eagles. As that running game gets back into gear, it's possible that we start seeing the Russell Wilson from the first five games that was the MVP candidate.
And that's the key, Mitch. You know, what frustrates me, and we've talked about this in years past, what frustrates me about folks that watch, I guess, the people that are in charge of voting for MVP is they don't take into account injuries and how that affects a person's game when they have key personnel not there. I feel like, you know, you take away the Gronks and you take away the Edelmans, and, you know, how good would Tom Brady have been all those years if those two key factors just weren't there all the time for him? And Russell never gets credit for just how well he plays and how well he keeps the team in the game when, you know, for years after Marshawn, our running game has always been a problem. That we can't seem to keep anybody healthy after Marshawn. Never gets, you know, he never gets credit for how he has to scramble his life away and deal with adversity, whether it be a bad O-line or he doesn't have the right personnel. And, you know, if he gets judged for these last games for making bad decisions and people don't take into account, it was a one-dimensional offense, because you're right. Everybody knew no running game. Russell's got to make it happen, which you can do a lot more on defense if you know that.
Not just one-dimensional offense. He had no defense either, and that counts.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the defense isn't on the field with him, but, you know, how much does he feel internally that he has to do without a running game and with a defense that's going to give up 35 a game? He has to come out of the he has to come out of the locker room thinking, we've got to score 40. I've got to be extra special tonight for us to have a chance to win. Now, you and I have talked about that. I don't think he presses. I don't think he looks at it that way. But yes, I think, and if you look at his game last night, how efficient his game last night was. He missed five throws, guys. I think he was 23 of 28.
Yep.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was 23 of 28. He missed five throws. Well, Miggsy, you just talked about two of them that were right in the hands of DK Metcalf. So he missed. So now he's missed three plays. Right. Go back to the original play in the first half where he throws the ball on third down after they got a bad holding call that negated a DK Metcalf long pass.
They
threw the ball on third down, if you recall, to Carlos Hyde deep down the left sideline, and I thought he was interfered with. He tried to come back from the ball. The defender hit him, and the PI wasn't called. So there's the third. Missed throw by Russell, and then there's two last ones. He threw one to Hollister on the right sideline that was low, but Hollister could have caught that.
Yep.
And then the last incompletion of the night was the 3rd and 17 at the very end of the night where he got hit in the head. You remember?
Yeah.
He got hit in the head and they didn't call that. So there were only five incompletions, and you could make a case this morning that he really only missed one or two passes the entire night. Now, that's pretty efficient, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, is if Carson comes back and is as effective as he is, and then you see Russell back to, well, basically having the offense that he can cook in, you know, then everyone's going to go, wow, he's an MVP guy. I just don't understand what happened in the middle of the season, you know, because I heard Aikman last night, and I'm like, come on, dude, you were a quarterback. You know how difficult it is to try to work when you don't have all your tools, and like you said, and you know, on the other side of the ball, they're just not playing well. I mean, I sometimes I just sit there and go, I'm a moron. Why do I see this and they don't? But I mean, you know, he's not the only one.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, he'll get his individual accolades if the team does what the team needs to do.
Yeah.
If you're really, I think what you're really talking about is MVP.
Exactly. I feel like.
Well, if you're talking about MVP, let's face it, the Seahawks have to win the division for Russell Wilson to really be the MVP. If they don't win the division and the Packers win their division and the Chiefs win their division, do you really think Russell Wilson on a wild card team is going to win the MVP over Aaron Rodgers on a divisional winner or Patrick Mahomes on a divisional winner? It's not going to happen.
Well, I think, though, Mitch, I think that, you know, that one year that Felix won Cy Young Award, even though the Mariners were not a great team, that's at least I appreciated that, you know what, they recognize that sometimes one dude is really playing well and he's just dealing with adversity. I don't think football does that as well as other sports when it comes to picking up MVPs.
I think Cy Young is different than MVP.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cy Young is the best pitcher, regardless of the outcome of the team. MVP of baseball, basketball, football. Now you start completely considering and taking into the equation, how did the team do? If he's the MVP and he's the quarterback of the team, then he must have taken that team to big, big heights during the regular season. I just don't think that Russell Wilson's ever going to win the MVP on a wild card team.
Yeah.
So that
right.
so I, that I takes that. That takes us to the conversation that I thought you were going to have this morning,
which is.
You know, what does the win last night do for the Seahawks as it pertains to, you know, winning the division, getting a high seed, and maybe getting a bye in the NFC? And I think it did wonders because when you look at where the Seahawks are this morning, they're 7-3. They've got six games to go. They've got one game against the Rams. Let's put that game aside. That could be a critical game, but maybe won't be a critical game, and I'm going to tell you why. They've got six games to go. Let's put the Rams game aside. So that's five games to go for the Seahawks. They play the Jets.
Yep.
The Redskins.
Yes, sir.
The Giants.
Love that team.
The Eagles.
Woo!
And a 49ers team that's decimated, that's really kind of, you know, playing out the string.
Yeah.
If you take the five teams that I just mentioned, not including the Rams, and you combine their record, they are currently, those five teams, 14-32-1.
So 14
wins, 32 losses, and one tie.
So it's a tough stretch is what you're saying. We're going to have a hard time.
Yeah, tough stretch. Really, really tough stretch. It's a tough stretch. So if they're 7-3, for them to finish anything worse, see if you can follow me this morning. If for them to finish anything worse than 12-4, and 12-4 traditionally is the magic number for high seeds and maybe buys. So for them to finish anything less than 12-4 with three losses to date, they would have to get upset by one of those five teams, even if the Rams beat them, right?
Yeah.
So let's say the Rams beat them. That's the fourth loss. And I don't think, who knows? They'll probably beat the Rams here in the revenge game. But let's just say the Rams beat them. They would have to lose to one of the five teams that we just mentioned. For them to lose to one of the five teams that we just mentioned would be a huge, it would be the victim of a double-digit underdog.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely. So, long way of saying this. If the Seahawks just win the games they're supposed to win the remainder of the year, they're going to finish 12-4 or better. They're going to win the NFC West. And they're going to be the one or two seed in the NFC playoffs.
I like that.
And, dude, things are looking pretty good as far as guys coming back. You got to imagine Posick, with the 11-day break, you got to imagine Posick's going to be back at center, which will be really nice to have him.
I hope
Brandon Shell's not in bad shape after that ankle injury.
Yeah.
And Carson.
Yeah.
And then guys like Jamal Adams and Tyler Lockett, who are nursing injuries but still played, but I got to imagine 11 days will be doing them wonders. It's shaping up to be a fun ending to the season.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun no matter what. This team has a way of making mundane games like the five that I just mentioned
right.
fun.
They will go to the end of it, yeah.
And they also make the great games fun. It's going to be fun no matter what. But I think you touch on something very interesting there. With the Posick loss, I was really concerned when I saw. I didn't know until the game time last night that they decided to go with Damian Lewis at center. Remember, they had gone to Ryan Fuller, the backup guy, last week against the Rams, and then he got hurt. So they're really on their third string center.
Yeah.
Remember what happened? I mean, Damian Lewis was playing really solid football at guard. So what happens when you take a guy from another position and put him there? Now you're affecting two positions.
Yep.
And Lewis clearly struggled last night at center, which is not his position. And the guy playing for him to his right struggled a little bit. So, yeah, I think the loss of Posick was actually a double whammy last night. And getting him back and getting Lewis back over to his spot and then getting Carson, yeah, I think they're going to get healthy. I think really they need Shaq back. They need Shaq Griffin back because they're defensive backs and Trey Flowers, we can talk about him this morning. He was just awful last night.
He looked like somebody just put cement in his shoes. But you know, Mitch, I think injury management is probably something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but I think that the Seahawks have always been known to manage those injuries well and maybe not bring people back when they could have come back just to be sure they're ready for the important games. And right. I think that we see that a lot, and I like to give them credit for that because right now, like you said, this stretch of games, not that big of a deal. You do not need to rush anybody back because, you know, a weakened team that we have should do well against all of those teams you talked about.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. I think that the Seahawks are in good shape to get healthier in the next 11 days. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for them to rest up, and hopefully get some help from some friends. You know, the Rams, this coming Monday night, they play at Tampa. They play at Tampa, right? And talking about Tom Brady and talking about B.J. Shea, I'll tell you who's going to have a real big hand in deciding the outcome of the NFC West down the stretch.
Who's that?
That would be the Pats, the New England Patriots. Remember, the Seahawks have beaten the Patriots. The Patriots beat the Ravens last week, so they seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
And they still get to play both the Rams and the Cardinals.
Oh, that's right.
Down the stretch. And then the Rams and Cardinals haven't played one another yet.
Yep.
So they have to face each other twice. So their schedules are much, 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 infinitely more difficult, the Seahawks schedule.
I totally forgot about the fact that the Cardinals and Rams have not played each other. That's huge.
They now have this thing in their hands. With as bad a defense as they've got the whole season, they've got the division, they've got a high seed. They really control, as a result of last night, they control their own destiny, really, now down the stretch. It's going to be really fun.
Most important question, when's the next podcast drop?
Well, a podcast dropped late last night,
but that was for the patrons.
That was not a freebie.
Oh,
that was for the patrons.
Dang it! Well, there goes that.
So the next you have to be a patron to get last night's show. Right after the show, Scott and I recorded our instant reaction, and then we'll do it like we normally do. Monday, this coming Monday, episode 118.
Nice.
And then we'll take a little break for Thanksgiving, and I'll be back with you guys on the Tuesday morning after the Eagles game on Monday Night Football.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yep.
MitchUnfiltered.com or wherever you get podcasts, that's where you can get it.
Yep.
And you know what? Be a patron. Get that special podcast because you get the real deal. You get the real stuff. That's what you get.
You know. Thank you, boys.
All right, take it easy, Mitch.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.